यमुना तीर वन चारे यमुना तीर वन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन छारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। बिफोर आई बिगिन भागवतम क्लास, आई'd लाइक टू फॉर्मली वेलकम लीला शुक Devidasi. Lila Shuka Prabhu is our ISKCON North America's Child Protection Office Director. And she has perhaps, let me put it this way, being a temple president is very difficult. Being a CPO director is even more difficult. Because although the service is very glorious, it is to protect our children within the movement. Not always do they get wonderful stories. Sometimes they have to deal with some very disturbing situations. And she's been, she has very strong shoulders. She's been carrying this responsibility for 10 years almost now, 10 years or more. And you know, in a crowd of people, you can tell who a temple president is, the guy who's not smiling. But she's always smiling, and so it's difficult to say that she's a CPO director. So despite all the challenges and sometimes some very disturbing things, she's very optimistic, she's tenacious, and doesn't easily give up. So her objective is to make all temples in North America safe for our children, for our future generations. And our aspiration here in Chicago, which we've been trying many years, step by step, incrementally, to get to being what we call certified as a safe temple. So all glories to your wonderful service. It's not easy. In addition to all that they have to do as the CPO office, they have no budget. They don't get enough money, which is the story everywhere, but it's very difficult to accomplish what they want to accomplish with hardly any money. In the past few years, some things have changed. They have a little bit more financial support than they previously had, but we have a long way to go. So I'm very grateful that you decided to spend a weekend at the Chicago Temple with Krishnarchana Mataji's invitation. And I hope your visit is successful and satisfying to you, and that you'll come back again. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. I really wish she had given the Bhagavatam class, but I guess you're destined to be punished this morning. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 8, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapila Dev, Text 23. Tam Tvamaham Jnana Ghanam Swabhava. प्रध्वस्त माया गुण भेद मोहितै. सनंदनाद्यैर् मुनिभिर् विभाव्यम् कथं विमूढा परिभावयामि. तं त्वामहं ज्ञानघनं स्वभाव प्रध्वस्त माया गुणभेद मोहै. सनन्द्यनाद्यैर्मुनिभिर्विभाव्यम् कथं विमूढ परिभावयामि. Please chant. Ladies, please.
Thank you.
Tam, that personality. Tvam, unto you. Aham, I. Jnana Ghanam, your lordship, who are concentrated knowledge. Svabhava, by spiritual nature. Pradhvasta, free from contamination. Maya Guna, caused by the three modes of material nature. Bheda Mohai, by exhibition of the bewilderment of differentiation. Sanandana Adyaye, by such personalities as the four Kumaras. Sanat Kumara, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana, Munibhihi, by such great sages. Vibhavyam, worshipable. Katham, how. Vimudha, being fooled by the material nature. Paribhavayami, can I think of you? Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord, sages freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanaka, Sanandana and Sanatana, are able to think of you who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? Purport. The word Svabhava refers to one's own spiritual nature or original constitutional position. When situated in this original position, the living entity is unaffected by the modes of material nature. Sagunan samati tyaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita chapter 14 text 26. As soon as one is freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, he is situated on the Brahman platform. Vivid examples of personalities thus situated are the four Kumaras and Narada. Such authorities can, by nature, understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but a conditioned soul, not freed from the influence of the material nature, is unable to realize the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita 2:45, therefore Krishna advises Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. One must rise above the influence of the three modes of material nature. One who stays within the influence of the three material modes, is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is not as important to know what we see, but it is more important to know how we see. This prayer, for some of us who are not coming every day, this is a very fascinating story that actually leads to the opening of Ramayana. So the situation is These prayers are being offered by King Amshuman to sage Kapila. And he's saying that, my dear sage, you are an incarnation, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, it's difficult to see you that way. It's difficult because I'm a conditioned soul and I am influenced, I'm bewildered by this sense of differentiation. The second line has the phrase, Bheda Mohai. The differentiation is, I cannot see you any different than I am. The phrase Prabhupada sometimes uses, you see the world as if you're in it, as if you are the main person in it. Or you see everyone as if you would live your life. I'll explain this because it actually sounds very nice. It's not. This Bheda Moha means I see this distinction out there, which exists though, but I see it in a wrong way. I see it in a perverted sort of way. Bheda, in this particular case, is I don't see you any different than I. Therefore, I have a materialistic conception of myself and I have a materialistic conception of God. The deity is no different than marble or wood or stone. Why is that God? Or you see a great personality and you think, they're just like me. They have a body, you know. They have their limitations, they make mistakes just like me. This is Bheda Moha. So there, he is unable to see the super exalted position of sage Kapila. He is expressing that way because he is able to see it. Now previously, his 60,000 brothers had come. King Sagara was advised to perform an Ashwamedha Yajna. And just as the Yajna was going on, Indra stole the horse. And he went and kept the horse in sage Kapila's ashram. So when they couldn't find the horse anywhere, King Sagara, you know why the name Sagara came? In Sanskrit, the word gara means poison. And when his mother was carrying him, when she was pregnant, I think when he was born, one of the two, he was fed poison because the other queens were a little envious of him. So he was fed poison thinking he will die, but he didn't. He survived. So because he survived with poison, his name was Sagara, one with poison. So his name was King Sagara. And he had two wives. From one wife, he had 60,000 sons. And from another, he had one son, Asamanjasa. So when this horse was stolen, he looked at his 60,000 sons and said, please search. That's a huge search party. So they've started searching the earth. They couldn't find it. So they started going to the lower planetary systems. From Bhu, they went to Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, and finally found the horse in Patala. They started digging and digging and digging and digging. Now one of the, according to some commentaries, the reason the oceans are called Sagara is because they come from Sagara. His sons had dug so much looking for the horse, and that those filled with water became oceans or Sagaras. So finally in Patala, they found the horse sitting or standing. Horses don't sit, but standing in sage Kapila's ashram. And this is the perfect situation of what is called circumstantial evidence. The expert sitting right there. Circumstantial evidence. There's sage Kapila, there's the horse. So sage Kapila is guilty of stealing the horse. That was the conclusion they came from, circumstantial evidence. And they become very angry at sage Kapila. They couldn't because their anger was so much that it covered their vision of this great personality. And they began accusing him and blasphemed him. Sage Kapila was in deep meditation, opened his eyes and saw these 60,000 persons. And the Bhagavatam describes that because of their offense towards sage Kapila, from within, their bodily temperature rose to such a degree that all 60,000 of them got immolated, burnt from within immediately, and they became 60,000 piles of ash. This is the, consequence of offending a great person. And the 60,000 sons did not return. King Sagara was worried. Not only did I lose the horse, I lost my sons. What to do? So news came that they had offended. So what now? The souls need to be relieved. So someone has to perform their rites. So King Sagara turned to Amshuman, who was the son of his grandson from the second son, Asamanjasa. So Amshuman went looking, and when he reached sage Kapila's ashram, instead of becoming angry and blaspheming him, he folded his palms and offered these wonderful prayers. And today's verse, he says, Jnana Ghanam, your concentrated knowledge. I've been thinking about what is concentrated knowledge. So we perhaps can relate with diluted knowledge. Something needs to be diluted. We add some solvent, water or something, and then you mix it. Then it becomes dilute. It's not viscous enough. You want to make something thick, you heat it up, right? And so it becomes all the impurities evaporate, and what remains is the thick. We say boiling the milk. You want to make barfi, you take milk, you keep on stirring it on heat for a couple of hours. All the other elements that are there evaporate or separate out, and you're left with concentrated milk. It becomes barfi. So concentrated knowledge means that knowledge that has been relieved or freed from other dilutions. Now other dilutions in knowledge means when conceptions get added from outside in. I've said this before. One of the devotees who visited here long ago said it very nicely. He said the difference between modern education and Vedic education is this. In modern education, as you go from kindergarten up through 12 and beyond, at each level, newer ideas get added to your repository of knowledge. Newer ideas get added. He said, on the other hand, in Vedic knowledge, as you go through different levels, all the existing ideas and misconceptions are removed layer after layer. That's the difference. In one system, new ideas get added. In another system, they get removed. And what remains is the pure soul, Sat Chit Ananda. So this Jnana Ghanam, concentrated knowledge, means that which is freed of the modes of nature. So these modes of nature, they act as diluting agents. In this material world, everything is pervaded by the modes of nature. And the modes of nature, they dilute our ears, our nose, eyes, tongue, skin. Everything, all our senses are diluted. We say contaminated. They're diluted, and that's why different persons see the same thing and same situation very differently. Now, this dilution is not just in the physical senses, but they also dilute the subtle body. And this is the verse. Previous verse was about the eyes, this is about the mind. Because he asks, Paribhavayami. Katham Paribhavayami. Katham means how. And Paribhavayami is how do I think of you in a concentrated way. Katham Paribhavayami. And he gives a qualifier. The qualifier is Vimudha. Because I am bewildered, I am unable to think of you in a concentrated sort of way. Now, think of you in a concentrated way means our senses bring in raw information. They don't say good or bad, or they don't qualify the information. For example, if I'm looking at a chair, all of us will look at a chair. All human beings, if you have a dog in the room, a cat, a bird, a worm, everyone looks at the chair. From their eyes, they look at the chair. Now we use the word chair because there is certain imposition by the mind on that object. It's called a name. In Sanskrit or Hindi, we call it padartha. Padartha means material. But actually it means pada artha. Pada means a word, and artha means meaning to that word. If I look at something and say chair, then I'm giving it a wrong nomenclature. So padartha is when I give meaning by an object. So we all see the chair. Now depending upon our subtle body, that chair gets interpreted differently in our subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Okay? So the false ego says, I'm very tired. For someone like me, I say, I'm very tired. So as soon as I see the chair, I say, I want to sit on it. That is for me to sit. Someone else who has a different identity at that moment. I am a cleaner. So when I see the chair, I look at, is there something in it that I need to clean? Someone else will say, that is a chair for the guest. Someone else will say, that's too old. Someone else will say, why is it on the men's side? Just whatever. Why is it not on the women's side? Why is it blue color? Why is it not green? Why is it that way? Why is it doesn't have any arms to it, armrest to it? So the same object, depending on at that moment, our mind, body, mind, intelligence, and false ego combination at that moment, that object is interpreted differently. So the three modes of nature, they facilitate the mind to interpret any information coming in. So we have five data gathering channels. they call the senses. Data just keeps on coming in constantly. And the mind collects all this data and interprets it. Now, for interpreting the data, you need some language behind it, right? Without a language, without a system by which that interpretation is done. For example, if I put a symbol system, A equals one dot, B equals two dots, C equals three dots. And if I see one dot, some system has to tell me that that is A. Fair enough? I'm simplifying it. So that system is called intelligence. It is based on our values, things that we hold dear to ourselves. They give interpretation to that. They provide the language for the mind to interpret it. And that language is driven by the false ego. So our identity is plays a very critical role in what we interpret. And that's why he's saying, Bheda Mohai. I have an identity that I am a king. I'm the son of a king. Or the 60,000 princes came and said, we are very angry, we're very tired, we are looking for a horse. You stole this horse. Or we see the deity, we see the spiritual master, we see things that belong to Krishna with this Bheda Moha. Bheda Moha means I see something separate from Krishna. This is the illusion of differentiation. Therefore, when we look at the kartal or the conch or anything within the temple, we say, this is Krishna's. Because we have been trained by the power of hearing that anything used in Krishna's service is spiritualized, is Krishna's. Perhaps for some of us, as we leave the temple, that distinction or that ability goes away. So Prabhupada said that temples are created for the neophytes, where it is very clear, this is the altar, this is the temple, this is all sacred. But once you step out, for the neophyte, that distinction is not so specific. It's like, but as one develops one's spiritual, I guess, consciousness, whether inside the temple or outside the temple, one sees everything as belonging to Krishna. In that sense, everything is divine. This is Krishna's nature. These are all Krishna's parts and parcels. These are all the living entities that belong to Krishna. So Mrigari the hunter previously was killing anybody and everybody mercilessly. But by the intervention of Narada Muni, that consciousness got transformed. And now he began seeing everything as Krishna's. So when there were ants on the street and he was running forth to meet Narada and Angira Muni, he was careful to not step on any ants, because suddenly now he saw the ants as, oh, these are Krishna's parts and parcels, the soul within. So this Bheda Moha actually blocks. It blocks the mind, intelligence, false ego combination. Or that is the block because of the modes of nature. So one should ask, what is the symptom to know that I have been influenced by the modes of nature? What's the symptom? The symptom is, do you see everything? Do I see everything as connected to Krishna, or do I see them separate? And the degree to which I see things separate from Krishna, to that degree I am plagued by the disease called BM. It's a new disease. It's a very old disease. It's called Bheda Moha. And the curation, the cure for the disease is that distinction starts reducing. I start seeing things as divine. Everything is Krishna's energy. This is the first principle of Ishopanishad. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So there is an indicator of good health. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. And then there is the diseased condition. Bheda Moha. BMS. Bheda Moha syndrome. And this is a disease that every living entity within the material world has. And so, to diagnose the disease, you have to get some readings. You know, for any disease, you get a reading. How much is your, you know, how's your blood, right? What's the culture of your blood? It's called pathology. They go through the testing your blood to know how, what culture it has. So blood is something that pervades our entire body. Similarly, the three modes of nature, they pervade every atomic fraction of this material world. So just as we do blood culture pathology, we have to do pathology for the modes of nature. How am I being influenced by the modes of nature? Your goodness levels are high, passion levels are low, ignorance levels are low, you're reaching towards good health. Oh, I'm sorry to inform you, passion is extremely high, ignorance is competing, goodness is on a very low quantity. This is a matter of concern. Or a doctor will come and say, I'm sorry, I'm the bearer of bad news. Your ignorance levels are extremely high, they're at a dangerous level. You need to take care of passion. As far as goodness, you can forget about it. It's not happening in this life. So we all get a reading, a pathology reading. So then the next question is, how do I get better? So there's this joke. A person was on a stretcher being wheeled into the operating theater. And they had transferred him onto the operating table. And the doctor came in with a garland. So the patient asked, who's the garland for? For me? So the doctor said, depends. If the operation is successful, it's for me. If not, it's for you. So we have to get cured. So what is the curative? Then the curative is described, and he's talking about people with good health. You know, when you see dieting pictures or people who have gone through a diet, there's the before and after, right? The before is they may have, you know, a lot of pounds on them, and after is like they all their selfies and they're all slim and trim, and you know, they have pictures with their shirt up and the six pack and this and that. So the after is indicating good health. They show you strong people. Right, even if they're old, 60 years old, this guy will be like, oh, like that. So he's talking about some people who have good health. Sanakadhyayi, Sanandanadhyayi. Adhya means etc. Sanandana, etc. So the four Kumaras and Narada are given as the example of persons with perfect health. And the perfect health is they understand and they see and they live by Ishavasyam. So Amshuman is saying, Katham Vimudha, I have bad health. How can I be like Mike? How can I be like Sanandana, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara, and Narada Muni? How can I be like these four Kumaras and Narada? How do I get there? I'm bewildered. I'm sick. I'm sick because I have the BMS. What's BMS? Bheda Moha syndrome. And I want to get to IS, ISD, IVD, Ishavasyam syndrome. IVS. I have my acronyms totally messed up, but you get the idea. So I want to go from here to there. How do I get there? And we all know that the process of Bhakti Yoga is the curative regimen. For many of us, it's just the palliative care for the time of death, somehow to help us get there. So he's making a distinction. He's making a distinction between himself and those great sages. And the distinction is that sage Kapila, you're the personality of Godhead, but because of my disease, I cannot see you as such. I cannot recognize who you are. So it's not just the eyes, but it's the mind, the intelligence and the ego that block our vision, our ability to hear things purely. So the transformation has to come from within. It's not an outside-in process, it's an inside-out process. And so the inside-out process begins with contact of those who are cured of that disease. Those who are free from BMS. So it's a great glorification. It's a taking stock of his own situation. Katham vimudha paribhavayami. How can I think of you? So this is, in one sense, a standard way of offering prayers. I'll end with this. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami tells us that there are three ways in which one can offer prayers. One way is to recite standard prayers. There's a phrase for it. Second is to express, he says, dainya, dainyavodhika. Dainyavodhika means expressing to Krishna something with abject humility. That's this one. And the third kind of prayer is called lalasamayi, expressing some desire, some way in which I would like to serve you. So lalasamayi prayers are from Narottam Das Thakur's song, Radha Krishna Prana Mora, Rugala Kishore, and then he goes through a whole long list of how he would like to serve them. Right? I'd like to seat you on a golden throne. I'd like to offer you tambula. This is the palm leaf. I'd like to whisk the chamara fan and the peacock fan for you, etc. He goes a whole long list, and the prayer is called lalasamayi. Means it's a desire, it's an earnest desire to serve. So dainyavodhika is the prayer where one expresses one's abject inability. So it's an expression of humility. So we hear this last line somewhere else in the Bhagavatam. Katham pashyema hi striyaha. In the first canto, chapter 8, when Queen Kunti is offering her prayers, she offers a similar prayer. He says, there are all these great persons, munina, amalatmana, persons who are very pure, their hearts have become very clean. Bhakti yoga vijanataha, they understand the path of bhakti yoga. Even they are unable to see you. Katham pashye mahistriyaha, then how can I, as a woman, see you? She's expressing her humility and her disqualification. And here he's a king or a prince, and he's saying, Katham vimudha paribhavayami. I cannot think of you. I am very disqualified. Why? I still make that distinction that something is separate from you, that something does not belong to you. And that is my disease. So I'm unable to see you. Any comments, questions, anything you'd like to add? Anyone? Yes. You get the mic, so it gets recorded.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. Actually, like, regarding distinctions, I'm confused in this part. Like, we are sometimes said that Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari and Kanishta Adhikari, we are told that we need to distinguish sometimes in our association outside, but and that verse that the Brahmana sees everything.
Painting is right there, yeah. Correct.
So how can we like...
Our philosophy is not of distinction or oneness. Our philosophy is of simultaneous oneness and difference. So that chair is divine, but the chair is not God. We don't offer obeisances to the chair and stand in front of the chair and offer our prayers. So it's oneness and difference. So a brahmana, a cow, elephant, dog, dog eater, they're all parts and parcels of the Supreme. But we don't treat this way, everyone the same way, meaning we treat them according to their position simultaneously, while knowing that they're all parts and parcels. So we should be careful that sometimes in Bhagavatam oneness is emphasized, sometimes distinction is emphasized, but in all times simultaneous oneness and difference is going on. Because if it is only oneness, then we'll get a wrong or a misunderstanding of reality. Some people say, oh, you people worship stones. Answer in one sense is yes. But it's not like every stone we see, we offer dandavats, right? Then we'll be a little nuts, like, whoa. Or when you see this, I'll end with a story. My son Prahlad, when he was young, he was about five years old. I forget exactly, but about 5 years old. We had gone to visit my father. And my father comes from a very super monistic background. Shankaracharya is like that. And so his friends, they were also like that. So this one lady was making, at least in India, at least in our household, there's an annual pickle making ceremony. So this lady was, because my mother passed away many years ago, this family was helping my father. They were making this pickle and you have to keep it for a few days and blah. So Prahlad asked, who is this for? So in our households from the childhood, whenever it says, who is this for? The first answer is for Krishna to enjoy, it's bhoga, right? So she said, this is for your grandfather. So Prahlad asked her, oh, not for Krishna? She said, your grandfather is also Krishna. So he was a little bewildered, like, what? So he looked at me for help. I said, I'm not helping you. Let's see how far you take this on your own. I said, yeah, what can you say, Prahlad? He said, my grandfather is not Krishna. So that lady said, everything is Krishna. So then Prahlad asked, is the sofa Krishna? Yes. Is the floor Krishna? Yes, Prahlad. She thought it was a little kid, right? Yes. He says, that floor is Krishna. Why are you putting your foot on it? And she said, cute boy, because she didn't know how to answer that question. Right? If everything is Krishna, how are you putting your foot on it? So our simultaneous oneness and difference, it is divine because it is sourced from the divine, the supreme divine, but it is distinct. It is a floor. It's not the deity like that. So when we, this bheda moha means, I see everything distinct from you. I see distinctions in that way. I don't see that everything is sourced from you, that you are the supreme source. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sarvakarana Karanam Sachidananda Vigraha Sarvakarana Karanam. I don't see that. And that is the Bheda Moha disease. I don't see the source. Is that right? Anything else? Yashodhanandan?
Hare Krishna. I just had a question on the purport.
Even the question is like an announcer. You are our official announcer. Everything is announced.
Where was it? He writes, but a conditioned soul not freed from the influence of material nature is unable to realize the Supreme. When Srila Prabhupada's writing, conditioned soul not freed from the influence of material nature, is conditioned soul and then not freed from the influence an additional descriptor of conditioned soul? Because like my understanding of conditioned soul means under the influence of the modes of nature. So I was just curious if you had any insights of why Srila Prabhupada would write both conditioned soul and then not freed from the influence of material nature.
Instead of a soul not free from the...
Yeah, I don't know. That just stuck out to me, so I was curious about your thoughts on that.
No, I don't know. Because every entity in this world is conditioned in that sense. Instead of a soul that is... Where is it? Where is it, Yashodhanandan?
It's toward the bottom. Let's see. It's the...
But a conditioned soul not freed from the influence of material nature is unable to realize the Supreme. So in this case, but a conditioned soul not freed from means the default condition, default's position is that they're conditioned. And as long as they're not freed from this modes of nature, they cannot see. They cannot understand the personality of Godhead. So he's starting with the default. The default is conditioned soul. We are Nitya Baddhas. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in this world there are two kinds of living entities. Dvavimau purushavloke, ksharascha kshara evacha. Kshara means those who can fall. And akshara, those who don't fall. Ksharascha kshara evacha. Kshara sarvani bhutani. All living entities are considered fallen or conditioned. And so from that default condition, unless they're freed of the modes of nature, they cannot perceive the Lord. Actually, the statement is appropriate. It's from our perspective, starting from here. Is that all right? Yes, Mohit.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I have a question. Just like we draw a distinction between material versus spiritual, in the form of your example, a chair or a rock, we wouldn't offer obeisance to a rock versus... So within, like, humans, and I'm kind of just confused as to what the Vedic perspective would be is, so... Would we draw a distinction between, I get it from somebody who's really realized from a spiritual perspective, obviously, they're a more advanced soul. So we would draw a distinction between that and, say, myself, right? In terms of our respect level. But from a materially speaking perspective, do we also draw distinctions between people that either A, are materially advanced versus not? Or, the same thing can be from, a child versus somebody who's... So I guess I'm trying to understand, how do we draw a distinction, or what the Vedic philosophy is drawing distinctions between human beings?
So, variety exists as a spiritual reality. Variety exists. And within that variety, there is a oneness. You with me?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll get net to my question. So I'm sometimes I'm disturbed when too much attention is to paid to quote-unquote VIPs, not spiritually advanced necessarily, but monetarily advanced people. And rightfully so, the whole world does it, right? But there's something in me that says that should be no different than the person who is performing the service of washing dishes, right? So that's what I'm trying to get at, and that's where I'm trying to go with that.
Sure. Let me first give a materialistic view of it and then a spiritual view of it. In a materialistic view, the VIPs are extolled and flattered because everyone is looking for a favor from that personality. So it's a self, flattery is always selfish. So they don't care. Today it's this, tomorrow it's that person. They are more interested in the position than the person. If the person moves from the position, their reverence and regard is for the position, not the person. That's the materialistic view of things, because they want something. It's conditional. I'm glorifying and flattering because it's under the guise of something that I want back. Okay? From a spiritual perspective, when that particular quality of someone is glorified, actually Krishna is being glorified. That quality of Krishna is empowering a particular individual in a particular way. So Prithu Maharaj, this is called Shaktyavesha. Prithu Maharaj was being glorified as the supreme manager, because Krishna's management Shakti is fully manifest from him. Lord Kapila is glorified as one of the most knowledgeable persons because Krishna's Jnana Shakti is manifesting from him. Kunti Devi is seen as one of the most successful persons in creation because Krishna's success potency is manifesting through her. So when, as devotees, when we see some quality in someone, yes, we appreciate them, but the right way of appreciating them is, how fortunate are you that Krishna's quality is shining in you? And whatever that is, you have Krishna's cleanliness quality, so you wash the pots fantastically. You have Krishna's speaking ability manifest in you, so you speak nicely, you sing nicely, you recite nicely, you worship nicely. It's all Krishna's qualities manifesting in such and such person. So that way, it relieves us from the envy that why does he have it and I don't? Or pride, I have it, he or she doesn't. So distinction is, or variety is a spiritual reality. And in that variety, there is that oneness, that everything is from Krishna. So when the source is cut off, you can't see. So you take a hub, and you have 10 spokes coming from it, okay? You block something between where that spoke goes and where it is sourced from. Then you will see 10 different spikes. But you don't see that they all come to one point. This is that bheda disease, that I don't see that everything is you, Krishna, as the source.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.